Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darussalam, Toronto, Canada. Saturday after 7th Tarabi, 6th of August 2011. What makes us do the sins? Proofs of sins are recorded in various ways. Be repentant as soon as a mistake happens. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Rahman Shahib Damat Barakatuhu, who is visiting us from London, UK.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس إنما بغيكم على أنفسكم وقال تعالى من يعمل سوءا يجز به وقال تعالى ولا يحيط المكر السيء الا باهله. My dear respected elders, ulama, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our gathering here, our sitting here, our prolonged time in the masjid in this month of Ramadan, in these blessed days, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our worships. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our salat, our sadaqah, our zakat, whatever other worships that we're doing during this month, and inshallah outside of this month. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the benefits of this, the good benefits, the influence of this to inshallah take us through the coming year and to make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing that we all deal with, and at some level or the other, and it is something which is a very human thing to do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the way He's made us, and it's something that we deal with all the time, and that is the issue of sinning. The issue of sin is that we as human beings, being the weak creatures that we are, we happen to commit sins. And that is recognized in the ahadith and even in the Quran. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks to mankind, He speaks about forgiveness. He speaks about people seeking forgiveness. He speaks about Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the Ghaffar, the oft forgiving one, the generous one, the merciful one, the loving one, the benevolent one, the clement one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Himself. When you look at the various different attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you notice that there are many that are to do with His interaction with human beings. Especially for the human being and the jinn, the two creatures among all of the infinite creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are responsible, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a form of intellect in this world, has put other creatures at their disposal, and made especially the human being the ashraful makhluqat. You and I are the noble creatures, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among all of His infinite creation. That is something to be proud of, but it's something to live up to and to act like the insan, the human being, to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in worshipping our Lord and in confirming and acknowledging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are acting the human and the insan that You have made us. In fact, in one hadith it mentions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you did not sin, Allah would take you people away and bring another group of people, another ummah, another creation that would sin, and then he would forgive them when they would seek forgiveness. It's in our very nature to sin. So that much can be understood, that it's in our nature to sin. By mistake, by accident, by sometimes becoming overcome. There's a difference between sinning by getting carried away sometimes, and the other one of purposeful sinning. Purposeful, habitual sinning. Becoming careless about our sins. Becoming negligent. Becoming totally focused on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And becoming so indulgent that we become encompassed and totally drowned in our sins. There's a big difference in that. The problem with sin, the problem with sinning, is that it has a bad influence. It has a bad effect. It brings about with it a bad effect. And regardless of however successful a person thinks that they have, however successful a way that they have committed their sin in, sometimes they think that they have sinned and nobody has found out. Sometimes they have sinned and they thought they've gotten away with it. Sometimes they have committed something wrong and thought that they have been extremely successful and nobody's the wiser. And they can still go about and do things. So regardless of whether somebody knows or not, regardless of whether somebody sees it or not, and regardless of whether we do it in front of somebody or whether we hide and do it or not, there's an effect of that sin, which will eventually become manifest if it doesn't become manifest and clear immediately. And this is when we say that people have difficulties, people have depression, people have different types of hardships and calamities that fall on them in their life. There's a marital problem going on. There's problem with their children. There's problem with intermarital conflicts, inter-family conflicts, masjid conflicts, relative conflicts, demotion at the job, maybe no success in exams, no promotion, and these various different things, car breaking down, the computer not working, things just constantly going on in their life, illnesses, difficulties, diseases, just constant problems, parishaniya as they say, just constant problems as they're coming along. This could all be the effect of sins. So a person may think that they are very successful in the way that they have committed their sin, that they've gotten away with it, nobody has found out about it, but then the effects of this will come in slowly. And when the effects of this will come in slowly, people will not even know what has hit them. They won't even make a connection. In fact, they will go become even more miserable, except those who have the tawfiq to do istighfar and to make tawbah, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become more observant of their deeds, to give up the bad deeds and to refocus themselves on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem with sin is that it becomes so pleasurable to do the sin. And that's why we do it. We start off by doing it once. It becomes pleasurable, we want to do it again, and then we want to do it again. And we think to ourselves that we want to stop. We have a guilty feeling after our sin. We commit our sin and then we feel guilty, we feel remorseful. And we think we don't want to do this again. But then after a short time, when the remorse wears off, when the regret disappears, then we start to focus on the pleasures of the sin again, and then we commit the sin again. And then sometimes we think to ourselves, we don't want to commit it. Sometimes we try to hold ourselves beforehand and say, no, we don't want to commit this sin. This is very bad for me. What happens if somebody finds out? And so on and so forth. However, what happens is that we then justify to ourselves, because shaitan is there, always playing with our mind. Shaitan never forces us to commit a sin. He will only encourage us to commit the sin. And we have to remember that we cannot blame the shaitan for everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. He is the one who whispers into the breasts of people, the chests of people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he is the one who had whispered into the qulubin nas, into the hearts of people, then we would have had no way of we would have had no way of being safe from the insinuations of the shaitan. Because if it was directly inserted into the heart by the shaitan, then there would be no way that we could do anything. Because once something enters into the heart, then the body acts upon it. But this is that shaitan whispers by the heart, in the chest of the human being. It is up to the heart to accept it or not to accept it. To accept it or thwart it and repel it. But what happens is that when we become habituated to sin, we want to do that sin. Then sometimes we justify to ourselves that we're going to just do this once more. This is the last time. It's almost like we're saying that one more cigarette. But we know that every subsequent cigarette that we have, it gives you extra nicotine, it gives you a bit more, it just forms the habit even more. The problem with sin is that the more that we do it, it is like an anchor. In seaman's terms, it is like an anchor that the longer it stays there, the stronger it will hold. And then it will not let the person go. It is like the more we do it, the roots of it begin to grow. They begin to go in deeper and they spread their roots into the ground. It becomes a lot more difficult to uproot. Can you imagine a person who has lived in a place for a very long time? He has to be uprooted. He's going to have all of his contacts. His kids are going to be in school around the area. All of this has to be resettled, taken away somewhere else. Think of a sin like that. That once it becomes a sin that we have personalized for ourselves and we become habituated to it, it's no longer the shaitan that we have to worry about. It's also our nafs, our habit and everything else, the pleasure that goes with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But this is something that we all deal with. The problem is that the calamities. If there was sin that you committed the sin and then there was no effect of it, maybe we can understand. But the thing is that the effects of sin are both found in this world and also in the hereafter. If there were no effects of sin in this world and they were all in the hereafter, then more people would have committed sins. Because there would be no lesson. There would be nothing to wake us up. There would be no wake-up call. There would be nothing to make us rethink and reorient ourselves. Because we would never see any influence of our sins. If it was all about punishment in the hereafter, and no punishment in this world at all, in the form of different calamities, then we would never think about it. But at least when we get calamities, we start to think about it. We start to think and we think, why are we getting these things? And anybody who has some iman in their heart, they will turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah. It is only those who are very hard-hearted, who become then even used to, they become even used to the calamities. And they try to, then they're spending thousands on medicine. And they're spending thousands on all of these other treatments and so on. And they're trying to find every other way to solve their problem. But they're not thinking that it's the sin that's happening. And they're continuing the sin as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. That's in a very extreme state. Many Muslims would wake up, would think, many believers would think that this problem that I have in my family or in my life or in my health or in my school or whatever it is, it has to do something with my sin. It's that sin I commit. It's that habit that I have. I must stop. I must abstain. I must go and fulfill the rights that I've not been fulfilling. Whatever the problem and the case is. You see, when a person sins, let us look at when a person sins, the thing that goes through their mind. Most of the time, respectable people, when they sin because they think nobody can see them. And they think they're successful in that. If a child was watching, they would not commit that sin. If their mother or father was watching, they would not commit that sin. If a respectable person from their family was watching, they would not commit that sin. They commit the sin because they think nobody is watching. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And in a hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to a prophet about his ummah that have I been considered the most despicable among anybody that you would respect? That if your respectable person of your community was watching, you would not commit that sin. If your mother or father was watching, you would not commit that sin. If your child was watching, you would not commit that sin. But you know Allah is watching and you still commit the sin? How low have you put me? How low am I? That I'm more despicable in your sight, that you don't even care for it. You care for a child watching you more than you care for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching you. That's why the sukoon goes out of our life. The tranquility, the contentment. We may have a lot of money. We may have a good job. We may have everything. We may have a luxurious apartment, car and everything else. But There's a loss of contentment, happiness, tranquility, peace. Can never sit still. A person is concerned all the time. There's grief, there's worry, there's always fear of something or the other. This is all the effects of sins. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أَلَّا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, there's no concern for them. They will never fear. They will not have anything to grieve about. I remember once I was in Saharanpur, in the old madrasa there, and there was a very great sheikh there who passed away recently, Mufti Muzaffar his name was. Totally a man of Allah. I remember sitting in that gathering. He was speaking about his father who had also, Mufti Yahya his name was. He'd been a great sheikh as well. And he was just mentioning, he was a very old person, he was just mentioning that my father, his tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that he would hardly take any money from the madrasa as a salary. And he would just take the absolute basic amount that would be required to run their household. And he was mentioning that we didn't even have like proper pots and pans in the home. And my mother would like save up bit by bit to maybe buy something. It reminds you of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and his wife. The famous story that's mentioned about them in Fadail A'mal as well. And then he said, I was just totally taken aback with our lifestyle that we have. And then he said that somebody asked my father, that but you have children. Aren't you going to leave anything for them? Forget about yourself. You can act like an ascetic for yourself. You can follow the path of asceticism for yourself. And be, you know, totally disconnected with this world. But what about your children? You have to settle them down. And he said, my father said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That verily the friends of Allah, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn close to Him, those who have gone close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by abandoning sin, doing good deeds, who've gone close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never fear, nor will they ever grieve. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend and the caretaker, the patron of these people. So he said that if my children are pious and they're righteous and of the wali of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. Look at his yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But going back to the sin, that we commit our sin and these kind of problems come in our life. Now, normally, let us put this in perspective. Let us try to figure out why we sin today. So that maybe we can realize the futility of this act and the harms of it. There are mainly four reasons why people sin when they sin. The what's going on through their mind. Because whenever you sin, we're wondering, where there's a certain frame of mind that we're in. The first reason when a person sins is because we think nobody is looking. We think nobody is looking. Clearly we have read the Quran, we have read the ahadith, we've heard many ahadith. We know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. That verily your Lord is closely watching. Mirsad means a person who is literally put somewhere to watch someone. Like he is direct eyesight, eye contact with the target, and he's watching. Mirsad. Verily your Lord, He knows exactly, He can see exactly what you are doing. So one is we think nobody is watching us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing and He's seeing exactly. Number two, the other reason why we sin is we think that nobody knows. And this is a very individual, personal thing that I'm doing and nobody knows. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the surreptitious glances that people make, the clandestine glances, look around here and then nobody else knows you're looking there, but you've just taken a glance and you've seen it. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Looking at the surreptitious glances of the eyes and that which is in the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly when a person looks wherever and whatever thoughts come into the heart. Number three, we think, well, I'm alone, nobody's with me. But we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah is with you wherever you are. Allah is with you wherever you are. And fourthly, it's because we don't have haya. We don't have embarrassment. And in fact, it's more about boldness. We think that we can get away with it. It's up to us. We've got this attitude that who's going to do anything to me? We think that we are powerful, that we can do it and nothing's going to happen to me. But we forget the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna akhdahu alimun shadeed." That when He seizes, when He will punish and when He will seize, His seizing is extremely, extremely terrifying. "Inna akhdahu alimun shadeed." "Wala yuthiqu wathaqahu ahad." Nobody can tie someone up, encompass somebody the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the forces at his discretion. If somebody else wants to harm you, you can protect yourself, put yourself away, get some guards outside, and so on and so forth. You can try to preempt their move. But what are you going to think with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You could be fortified in a place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have these great tyrannical rulers of the past killed by a mosquito going up their nose. So, how are we going to escape? وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٍ. There is nobody that can surround and encompass and seize a person like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. I will punish him with a punishment that I have never used against anybody else from the alameen. That's the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is who we're... لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is who we are transgressing against. We are transgressing against this mighty being. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Now, regardless of what happens in this world, we understand that these things happen. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Abandon both external sins, apparent sins, and both hidden sins. Things that you do in front of others, and also that which you do within yourself, abandon them. ذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّمَا بَغْيُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. O people, your tyranny will be against yourself. Your tyranny against your nafs is going to be taken against yourself. It's not going to be against anybody else. The effect of it will come on yourself. إِنَّمَا بَغْيُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. The one who does evil, he will be recompensed for it. He will be taken to task for it. He will be given something for it. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. وَلَا يُحِيطُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. Anybody who tries to make plots to try to avoid anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that plot will only come back on the person themselves. There is nobody that can go beyond the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, when we focus on this world, we understand why we sin. These are the different reasons why people sin for. But if we look at the hereafter, then you think we're going to get away in the hereafter? Well, let's look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up such proof after proof after proof. You can look at it from an academic perspective. You can look at it from any perspective you want. But the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up the proofs on the Day of Judgment, that there will be nobody that will deny what they have done. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you have done this. In fact, we will be made to remember, and there will be nobody that will be sent to hellfire thinking that they have been oppressed. Those who go to the hellfire, may Allah protect us from hellfire, but those that disbelieving people, the kuffar, whatever it is, they, when they go to the hellfire, they will completely recognize and be confessing of the fact that they had done wrong. In this world, when many people are put into jail, into prison, they protest, they claim their innocence, they protest their guilt, they think they've wronged, and many people are wronged and they're put away for nothing. But in the hereafter, this will not happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He puts somebody away, when He tells somebody that this is what you've done, there will be there will be such irrefutable proof. And these are the proofs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says first, the proofs will be the angels. The angels will be one of the first proofs. And that's why it says that, إِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Upon you are the guardian angels, the protectors. Hafidin, the recorders, those who record, they upon you are these angels. Kiraman Katibin, they are the noble writers. They write everything. Even the thoughts in the mind. They can understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them an ability to figure out, to decipher our thoughts. And they write them down as well. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ They know exactly what you do. So the angels, they will be the first, they will be one of the great witnesses on the Day of Judgment. So if that's not enough, if that is not enough, the second level of proof is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ And the books will be placed in front of you. The books will be exposed. The record books, the deeds, they will be put up. And you know the response that people will have to that? يَا وَيْلَتَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا What's wrong with these books? What kind of a book is this? It has not left alone a small detail or a large detail. It has recorded everything. There will be nothing. There will be nothing that will be missing from that book. So we've got the angels. We've got the books as proof. And that's not, you think that should be enough? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أُوحَالَهَا The earth on which we committed the sin, that will speak. The earth will tell its tale. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أُوحَالَهَا Because your Lord has inspired it and instructed it to do so. So the same earth on which we thought was a dumb earth, something which would not hear, which would not do anything, which would not tell anybody anything, it will literally have its ears and it will have its tongue and it will speak. It will speak and it will tell its tale. And then if that's not enough, all of these were external sources, the angels, the books, the earth. But if that's not enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will give you a witness from yourself. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us from these sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins. Turn all of our bad deeds into good deeds. May Allah give us the tawfiq to do good things by which our bad deeds also will become good deeds and give us the ability to do tawbah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا So that on that day, the people's ears will bear witness. The people's eyes will bear witness that yes, by me he used to look at these things. He used to spend hours watching with these same eyes. And the skin will speak that yes, he used to use me often, frequently, even in Ramadan. And then the person will think, what's wrong with you? وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ The people will say to their skin, to their bodies, لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا Why are you bearing witness against us? Why are you bearing witness against us? قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ And they will respond that Allah has given us the ability to speak, just as He's given other things the ability to speak. And we have to speak today. Another verse. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ That which is in the hearts will be exposed. Now, okay, the limbs. But the heart is the one thing which stores every single bit of data. It is the repository of everything that we have done. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ And that which is in the hearts will become exposed. Believe me, there is no escape. There is absolutely nothing. And we're being pragmatic about this. I'm not saying this to just cause an environment of doom. I'm not saying this to make us feel that forsaken and to feel despondent. I'm just trying to put things in perspective. That we really have to get serious about this. That how are we going to answer to all of these things? Will we have any response? The angels, the book of deeds, the earth, the hearts, the limbs. What else? And all of these things are just so that it will be proven to the human being. If they want to argue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, these are all of these things that you have in front of you. Hence, the best policy with this would be to seek forgiveness in this world. That Allah give us tawfiq to seek forgiveness in this world for all of our previous sins. Regardless of whether we commit them in the future or not. But at least we seek forgiveness for our previous sins. So that burden is off our head. So even if we're to sin tomorrow, at least if we're to die tonight, we die free. Many people do not seek forgiveness because they feel they're not yet pious enough. Because they feel that they yet cannot preserve themselves. But think about it intellectually. Think about it like an intelligent person does. Not the way, we shouldn't think about this the way a person does who shaitan has overcome and who shaitan has deceived to think wrongly and differently. Because what shaitan makes us think is that, well, you're going to commit it again tomorrow. So what's the point of istighfar? I mean, what face are you going to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're going to seek forgiveness today, then tomorrow you're going to do it again? Well, just wait until you can do this, that or the other, until you finish your job, until you get this promotion, until you buy a house, until you do this, until you do that, until you've tried everybody out in town, you know, whatever the story is that people have within themselves. Then seek forgiveness. Look at the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They did all of this wrong acts in the beginning. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you. Just make tawbah afterwards. Well, why do you want to be like the brothers of Yusuf? You may not even be like them. They had a father as a prophet and a brother as a prophet who forgave them and a father who tolerated them and who dealt with them and nurtured them and gave them tarbiyah, brought them back into the house even though they'd done what they'd done to Yusuf. How do you know that we can do that? How do you know that we won't be lost before that happens? We don't have a father as a prophet or a brother as a prophet who's willing to forgive us, to help us. Bring the barakah in the house. As Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. That yes, I will soon make istighfar for you. Most likely at tahajjud time. So why do you want to be like the brothers of Yusuf? Why don't you want to be like Yusuf? That despite all of the odds we get, he became the ruler, he became the successful one. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah forgive us. That our past sins, so it's literally like we're carrying these sins with us. If we seek forgiveness and make tawbah tonight, then that means these sins are gone. Tomorrow we may commit sin, but we'll only have that much sin to make tawbah from. Not a whole burden. The problem with sin is that, as I said, it's just like a big burden. A person who's running, if he's going to have to run with big burden, it's going to be more difficult for them to run. So if we shed that off, we become more streamlined. Tomorrow we sin, we seek forgiveness again. As a hadith mentions, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not tire from your istighfar, even if you have to do it 70 times over. That you sin, you make istighfar, you sin again, you make istighfar, you sin again, you make istighfar again. Some people think that when they sin, they've made istighfar, they've made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they still continue to do sin. So then they stop feeling that they should make istighfar now because they feel it's not having the benefit. Their du'as are not having the benefit because they continue to do it. Again, this is a ploy of the shaitan. How do you know that the next time that you make istighfar will be the one that will make you forget and that will stop you from all of the sins of the past? Allah is just waiting to see your preserve. Maybe you haven't tried hard enough. You've been sinning for so many years. We've been sinning for so many years. So now it takes that much of an effort for it to stop. So why stop so soon? Have we done istighfar for the number of years that we've sinned? How do you know the next istighfar you do is not the one that will make everything finish and turn the life? And the next hajj that you do will be the one that will make that difference? The next salat that we perform will make that difference for us? Somebody came to Ibrahim Adham, and this is a very nice incident that's related that gives us some perspective. And really, it's about sinning. This person came to Ibrahim Adham, the famous ascetic, and he said to him that, you know, I just can't help sinning. I just can't help sinning. I mean, I just commit the sins and there's so much pleasure in it and I just can't help it. And why not? I mean, there's pleasure in it. Why can't I just sin? So Ibrahim Adham said, fine. Instead of telling him off and saying, like, get out of here, you know, what kind of a intellectual are you? You know, like, I get pleasure in it and I can't stop, and why should I stop? I don't want to speak to you anymore because you're beyond. He said, okay, no problem. Carry on sinning. But when you do it, just hide from Allah and do it. So just make sure Allah isn't watching you. Find some place to do your sin where nobody's watching you, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not watching you. Forget other people, where Allah is not watching you. So the person said, he thought for a while, and he came back and he said, well, that's not possible. Wherever I go, wherever I may be, Allah's going to be watching me. There's no way that I can escape being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, okay, fine, we'll let that one go. Stop eating the nourishment, the sustenance and the provision that's provided by the one you're sinning against. Allah provides you sustenance. Just stop eating His sustenance. Find some sustenance from somewhere else. And then carry on sinning. Then there's no problem. You sin, and Allah doesn't give you anything. You're not eating His sustenance, so it's okay. So the person thought for a while and said, well, there is no sustenance aside from Allah. There is no provider besides Allah. So how is it possible for me to do that? So then Ibrahim Adham said, then live in some other domain off the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and live in a domain where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have sovereignty. You're living on the earth, you're living in the world, this is the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and live in some other realm, in some other domain. So the person said, that's impossible. Everything is the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is within His sovereignty. And he said, okay, fine. Eat his food, remain in his domain, and continue to sin, but do one thing. When the Malakul Maut comes to you, when the angel of death comes to you, then tell the angel of death that you're not going to come with it. Or that I'll make tawbah now. Just wait for me, I'll make tawbah. So then you can sin right now and you know that you're going to have guarantee you're going to make tawbah before the Malakul Maut comes. So just don't go with it if you cannot go with it. The person said the Malakul Maut, I mean he had some knowledge. He said, well, that's impossible. When the Malakul Maut comes, he thinks he's going to wait for me to make tawbah. It's going to be too late. Then Ibrahim Adham said, fine, when you get into the grave and you've been taken by death, those angels, the Munkar and Nakir that come to question you, don't let them come in. Refuse to answer the questions. Protest. He said, I'm not going to be able to do that. He said, okay, fine, you've still got another chance. On the day of judgment, when it's decreed that you are a sinful person, you should be taken to the hellfire, and the angels come to drag you to the hellfire, refuse to go. Refuse to go. Use your power, refuse to go. إِنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Try to go beyond the realm of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's universe. You will not get anywhere. You cannot go. So then the person said, that's not possible. But now he'd calmed down quite a bit. All that boldness that was there, that I'm going to sin and I enjoy the sin and what can anybody do to me? All of that was gone now. Now it has settled in his mind that there's nothing that I can do to get away from this. And then he said, you know, that's not possible. How can I refuse to go with the angels when they come to take me to the hellfire? So then Ibrahim Adham said that, well, my friend, then why do you want to sin for? Why do you want to sin for? So then the person understood. And from that day he abandoned sinning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful one. Regardless of what we've done in the past. Do not let the shaitan deceive us to think that there's no way out for us. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you if you are grateful servants? Allah says that clearly in the Quran. Regardless of you, He understands that we're like kids, we're like children, we're like infants. We make mistakes, we break things, but we forgive them, we think they're children. That's what we do with our children. We don't treat them responsible like adults. And if we show that kind of repentance, that kind of weakness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remorse, regret, we make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us like that. Because Allah says that, what am I going to do punishing you? If you're grateful and you believe, your belief is strong, why would we punish you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that as the hadith mentions, that the mercy that is in the earth at this point in time is only a fraction of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Otherwise, you think we'd still be standing here now? The clemency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people disobey Him. There are people in certain countries when the adhan, the Muslims were allowed to make adhan on loudspeakers, the atheists of that country wanted to respond to that by shouting on rooftops, there is no God. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His clemency, forbearance, hilm, continues to feed them. Continues to give them. If He can be that clement with those who disbelieve in Him, then what do you think of those people who believe in Him? It is said that Abu Lahab, his punishment every Monday in the hellfire is lightened for him. Every Monday, the punishment of Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was his great enemy, his punishment on Monday is lightened for him. Great enemy, about whom the Quran talks about his doom, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin watab. His punishment is made lighter on Mondays. Why? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born on Monday, he was so happy at the birth of his nephew that he freed his slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that into consideration and has made his punishment light on Mondays. If he's done that for a great kafir, an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who he has doomed in the Quran, then why would he not lighten our burden and have mercy on us? Why are we underestimating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't make tawbah, that we're waiting for some retirement, that we're waiting for the malakul maut to come or something like that? There's a story that's told. Ibn al-Qayyim, I think, relates this. He says that there was a scholar who was once in an area. Now, if you know of these old cities, these old Medinas as such, if you've been to Morocco, if you've been to Syria, these small gullies. So, he heard some big commotion from inside a home, that the walls aren't so solid, soundproof. So, he heard a commotion. It's a mother, it's a typical commotion. A mother telling off the child. You are like this, you are like that. Never want to see you again. Get out of this place. Go on, get out, I don't want to see you. You brought disrepute to the house. You put our name down. This, that and the other. Such a disobedient son. But I never want to see you again. Get out of the house. And suddenly he sees flying outside the door the son coming out. So this scholar says that I decided to see what this youth would do now. Maybe 17, 18, 19 years old. So this youth is totally coming out, totally dejected, just looking down, totally sullen, sorrowful. And he starts wandering around now. Where is he going to go? You know, we're talking about the days, there's no hotels, there's none of that kind of individualism. It's either you're with your family or you're somewhere else. You know, you make your own life somewhere. So he goes through the gullies, just wandering around the gullies. So this scholar follows him. Finally, he comes to the edge of the city, edge of the town. And there's nothing beyond that. And he decides to go back in. So he retraces his steps, goes back through the alleys, comes back to his own doorstep, sits down there, puts his head on the ground, and falls asleep. And the scholar is watching. He wants to see what's going to happen now. After 2 hours or something, his mother must have come out for some reason. She sees her son down there. And she says to his son, wake up, what are you doing here? Why are you sleeping here? It must be cold, it's hard floor. What are you doing here? Come inside. Are you bewakuf? Why are you sitting here for? And the son wakes up all bewildered, saying, what's wrong with you? He gives him a hug and everything. Now, what are you doing out here for? Come inside. That's a mother's mercy. We know that. We can relate to that. That's a mother's mercy. But you have to remember that all the mother's mercies of this world and all the mercy that anybody has in this world, it's only 1% of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the amount that He has put into this world. 99% more is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when a mother, when the father comes home at night and the mother complains to the father about the child, the typical scenario, if the child has been misbehaving that day, what would the mother normally say? She won't say, my great son, my son, he's been misbehaving. So you know, your son is like this, your beta, and it's like your son. It becomes the father's son when he messes around. Every other time it's my beta. But here it becomes the father's. Right? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ.
O my servants who have committed excesses against themselves. Despite the fact that we're so excessive, we're such sinners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us, my servants who have committed excesses against themselves. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. He forgives all sins. And look at, first he is speaking in the first person. Oh my servants, and then he's addressing them as the second person. Oh my servants, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He's the most merciful and the most forgiving one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is great. Let us not continue in the deception from the shaitan. Because the less we make tawbah and every sin we commit, it invites to another sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets us off for a very long time. But eventually when the sin overtakes us, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala... So just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not seized us for a sin that we've been committing for so long, doesn't mean that He's not going to seize us. I remember once, we were in the class and one or two of the students were playing around. They were being a bit mischievous. And one of our teachers came in, Mufti Saab came in. And he caught them. And you know what they said? They said that this is the first time we did it. And this is what Mufti Saab said. I still remember this. He said, you're lying. You probably would not have been caught if it was the first time. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets people off so many times before He actually catches them. And it was true. They were always messing around. And they were finally caught. In fact, it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, do not write this person's sin. Wait. If he makes tawbah. But then we continue because it becomes a habit. So now let us make tawbah. Let us make a commitment to ourselves in this night of Ramadan. And I'm speaking to all of us, including myself first, that inshallah, we will not commit any sins purposely, any sins we are habituated, whether it be fornication, whether it be stealing, whether it be whatever it may be. There's no need for us to remind ourselves of these sins, whatever it may be. That we will not commit it again on purpose, boldly. Knowing full well what we're doing and we're still doing it. And if we commit a sin by mistake, that we just happen to do it by accident, we are overcome at that moment and we will seek forgiveness. But we will not commit the sin on purpose and we will stop our habit. And the ulama mentioned that if a person has a habit of these things, sometimes it takes up to 7 times abstinence for it to come out of the system. Because we try and then we fall. So that if you persevere at least 7 times, that every time you have the inkling of that sin, you abstain, you do your best to abstain. Happens again, you abstain. 7 times, then inshallah it will go out of your system. That's obviously just based on experience. But as even the alcoholics and those people who deal with alcoholics will tell you, that you do not want to get near sin, you do not want to even smell alcohol, because that can trigger a relapse. And likewise, Zarruq and others have explained, the great Maliki scholar, they've explained that if we're habituated to a sin, then you want to abstain from the place where that used to happen, because just the mere fact that you're there and the thinking and the just remembrance of the thing will make you, could bring you back. Because at the end of the day, shaitan is just there to add the fuel to it. Unfortunately, some of our sins are so related to things that have become so essential to our life. We can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safeguard and protection, and not lose hope that we've been making dua for so long, it's not going to happen. It will happen. Do not underestimate. For as the final words which I'll mention is, as Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari says, that when you look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no great sin. No sin is too big when you look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no sin is too small. Sometimes we pass off sins as being small sin, minor sin, makruh, this, that and the other. There is no sin too small when you compare it with the majesty and the greatness of Allah. With the greatness and the majesty of the one that you're doing it and committing it against. But if you look at the mercy of Allah, then no sin is too great and He will forgive it. But it's our approach. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive a fornicating woman for feeding a dog, that one act that he can see, then why should we lose our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become one of those who are delivered from the hellfire. We become delivered from the hellfire in one of these nights of Ramadan. As the hadith mentions that in every night of this month, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people from the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write us as having been freed from the hellfire, bari min al-nifaq, bari min al, exonerated from hypocrisy and from sin, and that after Ramadan, and within Ramadan and after Ramadan, we can change our life and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.